Brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome. How are you doing? It's good to see you. I'm sorry I'm out of place here. I'm a missionary from Uganda. I don't have a pulpit. We don't have a building. We meet under a tree. And so if it's okay with you, I'll be down here on the ground level. If that's not okay, just tell me to get back in the pulpit, all right? You can say that. The Lord Jesus is so good. And thank you, brother. I praise God that I am here with you. It's been 4 years since I last gathered with you, since I last spent time with you. My wife was with me. We had 4 children at that time. And I don't know if you've seen the picture. We are the family with a couple of white faces and many black faces. We have exponentially grown, you might say, over the last 4 years. I have 11 adopted children, and I have a couple biological children. I have a gift from the Lord, my wife, Summer McCourtney. What a blessing she is to me. She's a helpmate. And you can pray for her. She's back at home holding the house together. And right now it's about 5 o'clock in the morning, Uganda time. So she's going to be waking up here in about an hour, hour and a half, with the children ready and waiting at the bathroom. And her day begins full of schooling and training of the children. And it's a little bit hard with me being gone, as you can imagine. But the Lord has been gracious to bring me back to the United States. And after being in Uganda for 4 years and coming back to the United States, you can imagine I feel a little bit out of place. All right? So if I say anything unusual or do anything unusual, just say, it's okay, he's been in Africa 4 years and you can show me grace, right? So I'm 7 days in the country, getting off of the airplane after a long flight. I have a little bit of jet lag. It's getting better. If I fall asleep in today's message, please, somebody throw something at me or wake me up, all right? But it's so good to be with you. And many of you are new to me, because when I came here, the church was young and just getting off of the ground, and there were some families. God was adding people to the church, and now I see that God has added more to the church, those who are being saved, as Paul told the Corinthians. You've come into the fellowship with Jesus Christ, and it's good to meet you and to spend this time with you. So before I go any further, let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Once again, Father, we humble ourselves to you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent into the world to take our place, to die for our sins, that we might have life, and that more abundantly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word of truth that has saved me and is saving people here as they hear and believe in you. And thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the head of your church. Be with the body here. Strengthen them. Encourage them. And I pray through the report on what you have been doing in my life and through my life, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray, Lord, that you would challenge them. I pray that they would step out. And God, I pray that they would walk in those good works that you have called them to. So thank you, Jesus. We love you, and we look forward to what you have this evening. And I just pray that I would not be seen, that I would decrease, and that you might increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you have your Bible. If you do, I want to take you to a scripture in Acts chapter 14. Paul had just winded up his first missionary journey. He was traveling around preaching the word of the Lord, preaching Jesus Christ, that people would turn from their useless idols and they would turn to the living God. And as Paul completed his journey, he was sent out from the church at Antioch, and he's going to come back to the church at Antioch. He's going to revisit a few of the places where he had started churches, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Finally, as it says in verse 21, he exhorted them. And then he went down to Perga, and there also he preached the word of God in Attalia. And verse 26, it says, from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. They came back home to their home church. This is where they were sent out. You remember Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas set apart for the work of ministry by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking through the body. These two set apart for the work of the Lord. They're going to go out, take the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now they're coming back. They had been sent out, commended to the grace of God. We know Paul. He was a sinner just like me, a sinner just like you when he was on the road to Emmaus, right? Or Damascus, pardon me. Got knocked off his saddle. His proud heart was subdued that day when he cried out, Lord. He met the Lord. He was saved. He surrendered his life to the Lord. And we know how mightily God used him, saved him by his grace, just as the Lord does with us. He saves us by his grace. And now, Paul, when he was sent out, he was commended to the grace of God to go out with the gospel of grace and to serve in the grace of God. And God sent my family and I out 7 years ago from Oregon. I'm a Central Oregon hick. Okay, I'm from a small town. Most of you probably don't know it. In Central Oregon, we have more animals than people in the town. And I'm just a normal guy with a little education and nothing special. But the Lord got a hold of me. And as I met my wife and we married and we began serving the Lord in our church, the Lord put it on our hearts and he called us out and he sent us out to share the good news, the grace of Jesus Christ that had so transformed our life. And we know in these years of ministry that the Lord has brought us through that we need the grace of God oh so much every single day. We rely on his grace, that undeserved love and riches poured out on sinners who will just believe him and receive him. And every single day he supplies us with his grace so that we might minister his word. And so Paul was compelled by the grace of God, commended to the grace of God, went out for the work which they had completed. God wasn't done with Paul. This was just the first stage, you might say, in Paul's ministry, the first missionary journey. That work was done, and now he was getting ready for another work. And the Lord is not done with me, and the Lord has brought us through a season, and I'm going to share more. We moved from where we were living in central Uganda, and we went up to another part of Uganda, northern Uganda, and we've started a new season of ministry. The Lord has called us to a people who have been living in darkness, who have been living in war for 20 years. And he sent us there, he called us there to preach his word, to make disciples, and to plant churches. And so we are entering into another season, another portion in our life where we are to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's all in his grace. But I like in verse 27, it says, "Now when they had come together and gathered the church, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." I'm here to report, not on what I have done, because I have done nothing. I'm here to report on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he's done in me, and by his grace, what he has done through me. And I pray that it might encourage you and uplift you, because God has brought us together as co-laborers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for the past 4 years, I have known your love, your prayers, your support, and your fellowship in the gospel. And what a joy it is to know that, and to know that you guys are there for us, and to be able to come back and to report and to really brag on Jesus Christ. I love to do that. This is what he has been up to. This is what he is doing through weak, imperfect, insignificant people. Just me, my family. And so Paul gathered the church together. He says, this is what God has done with them. What a thought that God would take us and that he would do something with us. Makes me think of Ephesians. You know this verse probably by heart. Ephesians chapter 2 begins in verse 8 by saying, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do you know the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ for sinners? That there is forgiveness, that there is life in the one who bore our sins upon a tree, Jesus Christ. And if you know his grace and that he saved you, there's only one gospel of grace. It has nothing to do with our works, what we bring to him, what we do for him. Works follow grace. And we are saved unto good works. We're not saved by works. That's the simple bottom line truth of the Word of God, and I pray that you know that. I pray that you are saved, because you're only saved by believing in the gospel. But God, who has saved us not by works, he has called us to works. And we are his workmanship. He's taking us, he's forming us, he's molding us. He worked on me, he formed me, and he's still doing so. But before he called me on the mission field, I remember I was reading in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. You know the place? John in his gospel in chapter 12, he said, It was Jesus who was in glory who Isaiah spoke about. But there in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, right? The train of his robe filling the temple. The seraphim crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This shook up Isaiah to see the holiness of the Lord. And he recognized his sinfulness in light of the Lord's holiness. And he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me. I am a man undone. I'm unraveled. I cannot stand before the Lord of hosts. I live among a people of unclean lips." His sin. "I live among people who do not know the Lord." And then the Lord sent an angel with a coal to cleanse his lips. And the Lord cleansed him of his iniquity. And then the Lord said, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." The Lord wants to meet us. He meets us when we understand His gospel of grace, like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say, and we believe in Him and we receive Him. And then comes that point in time where after He works on us, He maybe puts a desire in our heart to do something for Him. Because He's called us to good works, He will say, "Who will go for us?" That the Lord would use us is something that is beyond me. But He does. That is what He has chosen to do. And He's called us to good works, just like Isaiah. After he was cleansed, he was to go as a mouthpiece for the Lord, to walk in those good works. And God has good works for you to walk in. He's called you to them. He's called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Uganda. And when I met the Lord, when He saved me and when He called me, I knew I was to go to Uganda. He told me to leave my family, leave my father, leave my mother, my sister, leave my stuff, to go to Africa. Where, Lord? I don't know. I will show you. And He showed me I was to go to Uganda with my wife. And from there, the Lord has led us in good works as He does. But what He's taught me is that as we are willing, when we are willing, He will lead us in those good works. Greater works. Works for His glory. Things that He will do through us by His grace. To show His grace. So when I went to Uganda, last time I was with you, 4 years ago, I had gone to a city and I was involved in a church plant outside of the capital city. I just read some statistics. Uganda has around 33 million people. And the country of Uganda is the same size as the state of Oregon. How many people are in Oregon? Does anybody know? Little, yeah, not even 4 million people. So we were in a city that was at least 3 million people. And then we went out and we were involved in a church plant. And there the Lord taught me a lot. I was under a pastor. I was helping in a church, serving and ministering. And even before that, actually, there was a time when a missionary came through the church in the capital city, the Calvary Chapel where I was serving at, and he had been in northern Uganda. And I don't know how many of you have heard of the war that has devastated northern Uganda, probably in the news. It just recently, kind of, I would say, hit the headlines, maybe 2 years ago or something. And he came and he made an appeal and he said, "Who is willing to go? These people, they have left their villages. They've been running from the rebels and the government forced them into camps. So you would have camps of people, 50,000 people, 10,000 people crammed into these tiny little camps. They'd leave their farms. They're farmers. They're used to a rural life. And they would be forced in these camps where there was nothing for them. They would be completely dependent on aid. And war would be happening around them. And this missionary came and he said, "Who will go? The Lord's word is scarce there. People are not preaching the good news. Who will go?" And I asked the Lord, and I said, "Lord, do you want me to go?" And he spoke to my heart and he said, "I want you to be willing." So I said, "Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to go to northern Uganda if you want." But it wasn't the time. A little while after that, my wife went to northern Uganda with a team from a church that we are a part of in Ashland Christian Fellowship. And she went up there and she met a child. And this child, the child's mother had been brutally killed by a rebel. The mother was shot dead. The child was on her back, and he remained on her back for over a day until relatives found him And when they found him, he was very sick. He was taken to town, to Kitgum town, kind of one of the major cities or towns, we can't even call it a city, in northern Uganda. And there he almost died of, I believe it was TB. And so my wife met this child, and my wife called me and said, I believe the Lord wants us to take in this child. I have to be really careful with my wife. I try not to let her out of the house too much because she'll find children and, honey, I think we should bring this one home. No, I'm just kidding. She can go out as much as she wants, but she God's given her, enlarged her heart for children. And so I said, let me pray about it. And the Lord confirmed to me that we are to take this child. But during that time, I didn't know this, God spoke to her heart and said, Summer, are you willing to move here? And she said, no, Lord, I'm not willing. With my children, I can't go there. I'm not willing. And she wasn't at the time. And she was honest with the Lord. So in pursuit of this child, in adopting this child, I took a group of guys from the church in central Uganda. And we went up to northern Uganda to get this child and to visit the tribe where this child belongs. Out in the up in the northern part of Uganda in a very remote place. So we went there, and the whole clan in that tribe, they gathered together. They wanted to know, who is this white guy who's taking in our son? They wanted to check me out, you know. What's he all about? And why would he take our son? And we went up intentionally, knowing also that we're going to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was able to share with them of the love of God in adopting sons. That God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that God wants to adopt sons and daughters. The Bible calls us before Jesus Christ children of wrath. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can become his own sons and daughters. When we were not his children, we can become his children. And so I began from the Genesis account, and I took them into the gospel, and I shared the Father's love in adopting us in his son, Jesus Christ. And then I asked the villagers, they were all quiet. I said, have you guys heard this before? Have you heard this good news about Jesus Christ? And I just got this blank look on their face. No, we haven't heard this. Do you know anything about Jesus Christ? Well, isn't he the baby that Mary is holding in her arms, painted on the side of the Catholic Church 20 kilometers from here? Isn't that Jesus? Some of them had a very distorted understanding of who Jesus was, taught to them maybe by the Catholic Church. But almost every single person in that village had never heard of Jesus Christ. I went back to Entebbe. After we preached the gospel, we had many professions of faith in the Lord, and we would follow that up as the Lord would lead us back. But I went back to Entebbe, and the Lord spoke to me from his word in Romans chapter 10. I want to read it to you. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And the word just hit me. You know how it does that? Where the Lord just speaks to you, and it is for you. And Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Paul, he's already told in a nutshell what the gospel is, how somebody is saved, by believing in the Lord Jesus, who is God. Believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth. He went over that. And then verse 14, he says, and how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on him if they haven't believed on him? He says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Paul asks these three questions. The answer to every one is no. They can't believe in him if they haven't heard about him. They don't know him. They don't know what he has done for them. They know there's a God. It's only in sophisticated countries like Europe and America where people deny the existence of God. I ask Africans, do you believe in God? They're like, yeah. What do you mean? People don't believe there's a God? That's dumb. They know there's a God. But they don't know his love. They don't know his son. And how can they even believe in him unless they hear him? They have to hear the word of God. And how can they hear unless a preacher goes to them? And I was like, Lord, who's that preacher? And the Lord's like, you're the preacher. Remember, you were willing those years back. And now I'm making good on your willingness. And I want you to go. And when we're willing, when we say, Lord, I give you all, when we have been taken over by his grace, then who are we to say no to the Lord? Especially for all that he has done for us. I hear people, sometimes they say, oh, you missionaries, you make so many sacrifices for God. No. Sacrifices? There's one sacrifice, Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And what is that compared to anything that we do? It was his sacrifice. And all he asked me to do is to be willing. And he called me to go and to preach. And so we moved to northern Uganda, my family. We packed the car, thankfully. We were only, I believe, 8 children at that time, so we fit in the car. We were able to get everything on top of the car, Africa style. That's where you pile the car with containers and things at least 6 feet above the top of your car. And we drove. It's about an 8-hour drive up to northern Uganda. And the Lord called us there to make disciples, to preach his word. I took over a Calvary chapel that was struggling, that did not have a consistent overseer pastor. So I took that church over and began to shepherd and feed the flock there in the town of Kitgum in northern Uganda. And God has done great things there and in that body. Also, the Lord led us to start a church out in the village where I had gone and preached the gospel to the people who had not heard, where my son Ethan had come from. We started a church there. And then the Lord showed us other things that he wants us to go and reach those places. I've gone to places where people have never heard the word of God. They do not know the truth. They're bound. They're living in witchcraft. They're following superstitions. They're, as Ephesians says, they're dead in their sin and trespasses. They're blind in their ignorance. And we're able to go. And it's been hard. It's been at times just toe-to-toe with the enemy. And there's been opposition, but we've seen God, he prevails. God is at work. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's going to build his church. How does he do it? Through his servants, his redeemed ones. And hell is not going to prevail against it. The gates of hell. Why does Jesus say the gates of hell? What kind of structure has gates? A fortress, right? A castle, a fortification. Hell, I believe Jesus is mentioning there, meaning in that scripture, that hell is on the defensive. There's gates. They're not going to prevail against his church. Hell is not going to overrun and take over the bride of Jesus Christ. Never. Satan has been defeated. He has been conquered. It is only for us to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ, to follow the Lamb. Hell is on the defense, and the Lord calls us to be on the offense with His gospel, to take out His word. So I have a short video clip to show you of what the Lord has been doing. 4 years. I mean, how can I give a report on 4 years to you? But I hope the pictures help you somewhat. And then I'll share a few stories from the pictures. I wish I could bring the church from Northern Uganda to come and see you, but they all told me over and over and over and over again, make sure you greet my brothers and sisters there. Make sure you greet the churches in America for us, because we love them. And one day you'll get to see them. Amen. Through the gospel, we will all get to be in glory together. And the gospel is powerful. One story, and then I want to maybe leave a few minutes for questions, if that's okay, and we can pray. There was a lady who came down, and she was being before she was baptized, she was going, "Ay, ay, 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 ay." Did you hear that? Okay. That's an exclamation of just joy in Acholi. And she was saying in Acholi, she's an Acholi woman, that's one of the tribes in northern Uganda, she was saying Kafoi Yesu, and that means praise God. And everybody repeats Naka Naka, which means forever and ever and ever. And she also was saying, the devil is a liar, the devil is a liar. Well, this woman, we saw firsthand the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And this lady, she was bound and demonized when I found her. Actually, two brothers of mine, they found her first, and they contacted me, and I said, "I'm not around. You guys begin to pray for her." A Catholic catechist showed up. One of the neighbors called when they saw this lady. She was throwing herself around. The demons were throwing her around, rather. And her face was all contorted, and she was speaking in another language. And this Catholic catechist showed up. I was not there. It was before I came, and he saw her, and he said, "My stomach's upset." And he left. And they left her there. And she had been left in that state. And for many years, she had been tormented by the evil one. So my brothers were praying for her. And there was some improvement. And then I showed up. And we began to share the word of God with her and to pray for her. But she said, "I can't hear. I can't hear anything." Evidently, the demons had plugged up her hearing, and her hearing would kind of come and go, and she said, "I can't hear," and she would screech, and she would throw herself around. We continued to share the word of God with her, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in His authority, in the name of Jesus, this woman was freed. These demons, I believe there were at least two from what I can figure, they left her. And her hearing just slowly came back, and into her ears she was hearing the word of God as we were reading scripture to her, that the Lamb of God was slain for her, that Jesus loved her. And she began hearing that, and she then began to receive it, and then she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman, she looked old. She was maybe 40 years old, but she looked like she was 60. Her face disfigured. And we just saw almost physically her, after she had come to Christ, her appearance just changed. And we walked out of that dark room after she was delivered and she received the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was just smiling. She was looking up into the sky, and she was like, light, you know, Jesus. And Jesus saved her by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she was one of the dear saints that came into the water and was baptized that day as she told everybody, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. She renounced, you know, the hidden things of shame. She left her witchcraft. She came to the Lord. That's just one story, one lady. We've seen many come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, and I beg of you, if I could get down on my knees in front of you and just beg you to continue to pray for us. Continue to pray that the word of the Lord would go forth, that God would continue to save people, that we would be faithful to the calling, that we'd be faithful to teach the word. As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word. It's only the word, you guys. It's only the word that can save these people and you and I. And pray for us that we would do just as the Lord has called us to, and that we would see many more come into the kingdom. I thank you for your prayers. I have sensed just the prayers of the saints and the help at times. One time I was sick, I nearly died from bubonic plague. And actually, Pastor Brother was telling me that he met somebody that died of bubonic plague. I'd never heard of anybody with bubonic plague until I was the first case I knew of. And I nearly died, but one time I was sleeping on my pillow and I fell off my pillow. My head just fell off the pillow down onto the bed, but I thought I had fallen from a two-story building. My vertigo was really bad and I was very sick, and the doctor said I could have died. But I received all these emails, heard all the news of people praying for us, praying for me, and many times you guys have stood in the gap and you've prayed for us, and I thank you, and I ask and pray and beg of you that you would continue to pray and intercede for us, and that you might walk in the good works that the Lord has called you to. Amen.